Good day, good night, and welcome to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for October 4th, our first week of October. I'm Kevin Larmay, that's me, Dwayne Rollins on the line as well. Thanks to all the Patreons for their patronage with this show. This show is a Patreon exclusive. The first 10 minutes or so of this show today will be used as a teaser for the rest of our listeners so they can discover what we do right here behind the paywall. Dwayne, talking about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. How you doing?
I'm doing well. There's a lot to talk about this week, I think, and it's kind of exciting times. We're going to start with this, with the Canadian men's national team roster for the Dominica friendly. That's the plan. So, the first exciting news that obviously, Ballou. We talked about Ballou a lot last week. But,
yeah.
But Atiba Hutchinson back, too. And I like that, Kevin. I said this on the main show, but I really, really like Atiba back in the mix. I would suggest, and I have said for a long time, that as long as Atiba is still playing at a high level, he should be in this roster. We can get too caught up, I think, in got to be young. And, yeah, he's probably not going to be around in 2022. But, you can't ignore that kind of experience.
You need to guide them through 2022. You need to guide them through the qualifying process. And what better than maybe, if not the most decorated experienced at the highest level Canadian men's national team player ever. Champions League captain, Besiktas in the Champions League, not just a part of the 11. Yeah, Atiba Hutchinson will be the mentor to a lot of the new faces that are joining Canada right now. Let's go through the roster in no particular order. It's actually order of numbers that we have on canadasoccer.com. Here we go. Goalkeeper Simon Thomas from Norway. I'm not pronouncing the team because Norway. Second, fullback Zachary Broguillard plays for Lyonnais, for Lyon. That one was a surprise, and he's a young kid developing, and I'm happy to see Zachary in the fold.
Yeah, no, and that's the other name that I jumped out immediately. I've been sort of keeping the, looking at the side of my eye at that player for a while. Obviously, playing in Lyon under 21s is a significant place. You'd like to see him in the full Lyon setup tune, but let's not get too greedy here. But it's nice to see. And look, the youth, that is going to be the names here. And this is something John Herdman, if we can compare his time with the women's team to the men's team, he's never been reluctant to play kids. I mean, you think about, it's a little bit different on the women's side of the game because there's a little less experience and the professionalism is high. But certainly there, you saw all kinds of 17-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 15-year-olds even, right? Like Jesse Fleming, I think, was captain 15.
Yeah, Jesse Fleming was famously known to be a 15-year-old. And even, we don't have to go far on the men's Gold Cup 2017, when we had Alfonso Davies win the golden boot for the Gold Cup. And John Herdman mentioned at that time, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Exactly. Good enough, old enough is a cliche, but it's an absolute true one. And certainly with this young team, and this is what the beauty of the Nations Leagues are. I mean, they have a nice little goal diff built up after the first win against the U.S. Virgin Islands. They did exactly what they needed to do in that game. They should be able to win these games out. And if they win all four games, then, next year at this time, we're talking about games against, the U.S. or Mexico or Honduras or Costa Rica or teams, Panama. I can just go listing them now, but we'll stop there. Yeah. That are better anyway. And so these games are vital, but they should be winnable. They should be winnable with the youth out there. And the more confidence that these kids get, the better off it is going to be for everyone. I like that this team is so young that a guy like Jonathan Osorio is like
a veteran.
A veteran, right?
Men Record Dreams, of course, of Denmark, FC Fredericia, is there. Derek Cornelius, David Edgar, Samuel Piet, Russell Tybert, Scott Arfeld. Three important pieces in the midfield, especially Scott Arfeld, a little forward in the midfield. Samuel Piet will be the kind of sentinel in front of the defense, which he has been really good at with the Montreal Impact since his move from Europe. Scott Arfeld, of course, famously one of the best player and the biggest get that Canada was able to convince to represent Canada. Then Kyle Lahren, forward for Besiktas. He's battling for playing time with Besiktas, had some great games already with Besiktas, and Kyle Lahren will have to battle for the starting position as a forward, yes, but he is the number one forward as of right now for Canada.
Well, yeah, and look, I talked about this last week. You're talking about a player here that that was in an Istanbul derby, right? Like that, you want to get players that have played in intense, insane circumstances. Well, you're not going to get crazier than an Istanbul derby. So having that kind of experience is going to absolutely help these guys. Like, how scary can Panama be when you stare down Galatasaray or Fenerbahce fans, right?
Yeah, with half of the stadium lit by flares and close to getting on fire. Yeah, that's what he has experienced, Kalar. Now moving to another midfielder here, David Junior Hoilett, a plays in the Premier League for Cardiff City. It's not easy for him so far in Wales, but Junior Hoilett will come to Canada to represent the Maple Leaf to St. Ricketts. One of the older player in this squad, a transitional position for him, I imagine, where he's there to make sure he's a known quantity. Right, you put to St. Ricketts in at the 75th minute, 70th minute, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get an injection of enthusiasm, of maybe a goal here or there, some threat, some link-up play. So the St. Ricketts, as a super sub, I don't know if we're going to see him all the time. He's a bit of a fringe of a super sub at this point with all the youth coming up. But St. Ricketts with Canadian national team.
Yeah, look. When you talked about Toussaint, and I look at his playing time with TFC getting less and less, especially with Nicholas Johnson coming in and looking really good in a TFC role, that seems to maybe spell the end of Ricketts' time at TFC at the end of this year, you would think. But I look at him in a similar way. You talked about Piatt and how he sort of floated around Spain for a while and chased the dream over there and then came back and got solid playing time for the Montreal Impact. And that was a big deal for him to sort of take that next step, really, right? He needed to constantly play. And it's not like Toussaint Ricketts has more steps to take, but I do think he has more to give.
Yeah.
And we always joke about how, you know, the
Edmonton
FC Edmonton's first pick of the is Toussaint Ricketts. Well, maybe. And if he is regularly starting again, and I think maybe you might see him have more of an impact for Canada. But, you know, what's great about this team and about this roster right now is that you know, we are talking about a guy that you might be able to bring in for a veteran super sub, and that's a position that we have the option to have. And in the past, we might have been looking at a guy like Toussaint Ricketts at the end of his raw line and going, oh God, please find more goals because we need them somewhere.
Yeah, we do. Alphonso Davies, number 12 for Canada, a winger, not a left back, a winger, will be with Dominica. That is the continuation of the Alphonso Davies story. Signed by Bayern Munich. We'll see if he goes there in January or if he's loaned somewhere else. There's a month off in the Bundesliga. That's when Alphonso Davies will make his way to Munich and part of the winter training camp. And we'll see where he lands after that. But Alphonso Davies, part of this roster.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, obviously. I mean, it's almost like seems like Alphonso Davies is old news now, but this is still a kid with so much up potential here. You know, you mentioned the Whitecaps looking, you know, TFC can put the final nail in their coffin, I think, this week. They could both kill each other with a draw. That seems
that's
likely.
That's going to be so Canadian. Let's eliminate each other with a draw. Let's be nice to each other 0-0 and we're both done.
Yeah, that might be what happens. I could see it. I look at Davies and I'm hopeful that we might see him stick around and go to the U20s qualifying in November to give him some more playing time before he goes to Germany. But because I'm really excited about the U20 roster, you look at these kids and you go, oh my God, we could do something at the U20s if we can get there. So this is something to think about. But maybe we'll talk about this more on probably closer to Halloween when we preview the U20 at qualifying. But there's exciting names there. But back to the men's national team. Actually, I wanted to take a step back. We sort of jumped over him a little bit. A real key player to this roster that kind of slipping a bit under the radar because I think a lot of people just forgot about him because he was basically hurt for an entire year and sort of slipped out of our mind was David Edgar.
Yeah.
With David Edgar. I just made him Spanish for some reason. But
yeah, David Edgar. Spanish national team player. No, David Edgar, who was making his comeback season with Ottawa Fury this time around, has been hurt, has been not having the best 13 months, but now back playing regularly with Ottawa.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about the problem with this team is the back, and certainly they're very thin. So if you could get Edgar back even at 75 or 80% of what he was at the peak, where he was a very effective international defender, I think that might be a benefit to this team. But you need to find some back help at the back because it's thin, as we know.
Yeah, it is. All right, moving on away from David Edgar, Atiba Hutchinson midfielder will be the captain in my mind of this team, of this process of qualifying for the Nations League group to see if Canada can make Group A. Let's not forget the top four teams in the qualifying process will be in Group A, and a lot of teams will have the same amount of points. It's going to be decided by the differential. So Canada needs to beat Dominica by at least 5 to 6 goals just to keep up with Edie, apparently. So Atiba is going to be very instrumental in this potential result.
Yeah, no, it's important for them to look. There is no way that Dominica can get anything out of this game, I don't think. Like, I mean, maybe there's a way, but I'm thinking this is in that, like, they hold on to a 0-0 because Canada keeps hitting posts. This is a damn good team that's just heads and shoulders above the competition they're playing right now. And I know that that's a thing that a lot of Canadian national team longtime fans find hard to say out loud, but really, you even look at, you know, even look in the cycle when they lost 8-1 famously or infamously, they handled these teams pretty easily in the qualifying rounds before they got to the semifinals, right? Like, so if you look at those teams, which were undoubtedly less talented than this one, there's really no reason to worry about this. And there is so much attacking talent on here that, yeah, you want to score a lot of goals. The more goals you score, the more likely you'll be in that top four, because what would be horrible is to end up with a draw in one of these games, probably in that last game when you're playing the other Group A opposition, and maybe losing out. If you win all four, I think we should say this, if you win all four of your games in this qualifying campaign, you will be in the top four because there are 8 teams in Pot A and they play each other. So you can't, if you win all four, you're in the top four automatically, mathematically, right? So
yeah.
So just get it done. But still, you allow yourself more flexibility if you can run the score on these teams. And that's unfortunate for those teams, but, you know, all's fair in love and war type thing, right?
If you say so, I believe you. It's still too early for me to try to do math, so I'll take your word for it. You know, we've seen teams like Cardiff, Glasgow Rangers, Olympique Lyon in the names we mentioned so far. The next one, a winger as well, 18-year-old phenom that we've been hearing about for a few years. Haven't seen him at the highest level in our jersey yet. Liam Millar from Liverpool U23. Those looking like big clubs. Liverpool, Besiktas, Cardiff, Rangers. That's not bad at all. Liam Millar, winger for Canadian national team.
Yeah, and he does quite well in the U21. Look, a lot of our players are with big names, but they're, you know, on their under 21s or B. But that's the biggest name of all, really. That one still shakes my head when I think that there's a Canadian national team player with Barcelona anything attached to his name. But anyway.
Yeah, every time I see, we'll get to Baloo, but every time I see on my Facebook feed, because that's where Barcelona B broadcast their game on their Facebook page too, always look, I always do a double take. I'm like, Oh yeah. I used to talk to that player. I saw him play at FC Montreal. That was good times. Liam Millar, Liverpool.
Yeah. Moving. Millar is he has obviously played a little bit. This, I think, will be his first game in Canada.
His first cap game, no? Is he capped
well,
already?
He played in the last qualifier.
Okay.
The last World, yeah. So he's been around the periphery, but for sure, it's his first in Canada, first time for the home fans to see him up close. So I'm interested to see that. He's didn't have a great U20 campaign. We were all excited to see him, and then that entire U20 team kind of
should have been.
Yeah, that's the exact phrase I was going to go with. So yeah, but he's looked okay with the full national team setup. And as we said, he's with the Liverpool U21s, but he does seem like a player, and Klopp is a guy that will play kids. That seems like he might be able to get a run out at some point. It's too bad Liverpool's out of the League Cup, because that would have probably been his best chance.
FA Cup, third round, Liam Millar, here he comes.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, within a year or so, we have to make a decision on what all of these guys are going to have to decide whether they want to stay and continue to fight, or whether they want to go out and loan. And that probably is the next natural step for Millar, is to maybe go to a championship team and play regularly. And that would be perfectly okay if that were to happen. But certainly it's nice to see those names beside the club names beside the player names, for sure.
Jay Chapman and from Toronto, Donnell Henry as well from Vancouver. Yeah, we need center backs. We need defenders. And one of them is Donnell Henry.
Donnell Henry has talent. I mean, West Ham bought him for a reason. He's been completely derailed by injuries, but Yeah, I fully admit he's terrifying at times. I mean, I watched him very closely for both Canada and TFC for a long time. It's still weird to hear Daniel Henry and Vancouver in the same sentence, by the way. But he's very much a homegrown TFC guy in my mind. But nonetheless, it's if you're a national team fan, you know, maybe you can have reluctance to this, but you need to be cheering for Daniel Henry to meet his potential or even part of his potential. And he Whitecaps fans will tell you that. If you watch it, and it's the same thing, and I think I said this before, but Daniel Henry is like, you know, a really old cheese. That the first time you taste really old cheese in your life, you're like, ew, I don't know about that. But the more you eat it, the more you appreciate it. The more you see Daniel Henry, the more you appreciate his game and see the good things that he does. Because when you only just take isolated bites of Daniel Henry, and this is getting weird, but anyway, we only take isolated bites of him, it's kind of leaves a bitter taste because there's, you know, he makes big mistakes sometimes. So Daniel Henry, fine old cheese.
I was going to say, once you take that old cheese and you pair it with a nice fine old wine like a Chiba, you get that link-up play, it tastes a lot better.
There you go. Analogies. Hashtag analogies.
We mentioned Jay Chapman as well, midfielder for Toronto FC. We'll see how much playing time Jay Chapman gets. It's going to be a crowded midfield with a lot of upside players. So we'll see how much playing time Jay Chapman gets against Dominica. Ashton Morgan, fullback. We need defenders. We need fullbacks. There's a very high probability that we see Ashton Morgan start. Let's quickly move through the rest of the roster. James Pantemis, goalkeeper from the Montreal Impact. He will probably be on the bench in this one. But still, the goalkeeper right now in this team are young goalkeepers. There's no Milan Borjan, which, by the way, still feels terrible for him yesterday. Sorry you had to play PSG. Sorry about that name, our free kick, Milan. But you're good still. Don't let that affect your confidence. Lucas Cavallini, forward for Puebla FC. One of the good players right now in Liga MX. We're talking about how Cal Aaron might be the starting forward, depending on the formation. And we know that Herdman likes to go with the 4-4-2 sometimes. Lucas Cavallini could be starting up top with Cal Aaron.
Yeah, oh, I love Cavallini's game. I think he's our best forward right now. Playing in the Mexican League down there, starting in the Mexican League for a smaller side there, but there's a lot of interest in him moving up. Because we don't watch Liga MX that much in Canada, English Canada anyway. I mean, you can get it on. There are some games available legally now for the first time in a while, so that's a good thing. But it's not something we naturally watch. I think he falls out of our radar a little bit. But this is a key player, particularly in CONCACAF, because he's playing in a league in CONCACAF that is as CONCACAF-y as it gets, right?
It's the highest league, too. The highest playing level in CONCACAF. Sorry, MLS.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I've seen Tigres play 4 games this year. I am well aware of their level.
Exactly. So, Lucas Cavallini. Jonathan David, forward for Gant. Dwayne, there's a lot of good strikers for once. This feels weird. This is not what we're used to. Jonathan David plays for Gant in the Belgium Jupiter League, had a tremendous beginning of the season, and is on the roster.
Yeah, and he's out of left field, eh?
Out of nowhere. And then he played so well at the beginning of this season that Gant's like, okay, we're signing you till 2022. Done. Yeah, you're staying with us.
Unless you were like, yeah, obviously, Voyageurs were aware of him to a certain extent and aware that he was going over there. But unless you were like hardcore in the Ottawa like local scene, you probably had no idea what this kid could become and has become very quickly. You know, no hype coming in. And that's, look, there is talent in this country. They just need a chance. Like I've said this before and others have said this before. They just need a chance to fail, right? The chance to fail. Which hope they don't, but they don't even get the chance to fail in the past. So this is what this league is all about, what that's coming up, and this is what these kids are getting, an opportunity. That partnership in Belgium, we've shown a lot of players over there before, so there's an opportunity there that he's taken advantage of. And yeah, it's exciting to talk about the Canadian national team again. When the hell did that last happen?
We usually are never that upbeat, never this happy to talk about the Canadian national team because...
Wait till World Cup qualifying, but yeah.
I'm still hopeful, still, because it hasn't started yet. Jonathan Osorio as well, number 21 for Canada. Alessandro Busti, goalkeeper for Juventus U23, another big club. And the cherry on top of that sundae, Jean-Yves Balutabla from FC Barcelona B for Canada. He decided he'll be capped after this one on October 16th.
And he'll be capped tied, most importantly, and I think we should illustrate that because this is an official qualifier for the Gold Cup next summer. Canada has not qualified for the Gold Cup this year, although if they win the game against Dominica, they're pretty much guaranteed a top 10 spot in this qualifying, and that would, in fact, give them one of those slots. So because it's a qualifier, though, it provides an opportunity to cap tie him. And, you know, I don't know this for sure, but because I think he quite rightfully is going to focus on trying to obtain a spot in Barcelona or obtain a good loan somewhere to La Liga side, that he's going to focus a lot on that. And this providing him with the opportunity to come over, meet the people around the program, get the cap tie so there's no more questions, that's going to benefit him. And I think that's going to allow them to not call him up the next few times. I don't think you need to drag him out of Barcelona, or it's even beneficial to drag him out of Barcelona for the next two games in this. But I think the cap tying of him is something that's important.
No more doubts, no more questions, no more social media messages from everyone in Canada saying, Baloo, please choose us, we're here, we're here. He did. He'll be here. And that's the important part.
Yeah, I don't think he was probably getting the same level of messages from the Ivory Coast. So, objectively
speaking, he's been here since he's 8 years old. So, you know,
he's Canadian. Yeah,
in my mind, he is. I've seen him play with the U20, right? So, he's Canadian. He's from Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. And we're just used to the past to they're taking advantage. But when you go, you look at it like, you know, take all of your sort of past Canadian national team fears away and look objectively at the two programs. I'm not convinced the Ivory Coast had a golden generation that a lot of us, or certainly some people probably are not used to the Ivory Coast not being good. Well, they weren't in the past World Cup, right? They only made one World Cup during that streak. Are they better than Canada right now in terms of their overall talent? I mean, especially when you throw in 2026 and the likelihood of a host bid there. I don't know. I think that the objectively speaking, it's equal at the very least for him. So shouldn't be that surprising that he chose to play here.
Last time I checked, they're not hosting a World Cup anytime soon. So there you go.
No, I doubt that would be happening. No.
Exactly. Hope you like our little preview. We'll come back after this break to talk about the Canadian Premier League. We have an interview with Alex Bunbury, who was coaching the head coach in the open trials of the God Game Campiel trials. So we'll take a listen to Alex Bunbury, Canadian soccer legend. But before we do so, we say goodbye to all of you enjoying this preview. Make sure you subscribe at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the full show and to this Canadian soccer exclusive show once a week right here on Patreon. We say goodbye for now. We'll come back with the continuing of the podcast for all the patrons after this great interview with our Canadian soccer legend, Alex Bunbury.